Luke chapter 4, 13 verses. I'm going to read them all to you. Are you ready?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. All righty. Praise the Lord. God is good. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. Happened at the Jordan was he got baptized in water. And so he returned, and remember that as he was baptized in water, was coming out of the water, that the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form. Okay? He returned full of the Holy Spirit from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the desert where for 40 days, would you say 40 days for me, please? Amen. 40 days is a long time, amen?
Amen?
For 40 days, he was tempted by the devil.
Yeah.
Wow. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Yeah. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Yeah. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. And the devil came up to a... devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw down yourself from here, for it is written, he will command angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Lord, we come before you this morning. We got challenges. We got issues. We got problems in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we would come to you this morning, Lord, and ask for wisdom on how we can address those issues, Lord, how we can be prepared, Lord, to overcome these challenges, Lord, to find victory after victory after victory, Lord. And to find that victory, we've got to stand. To find that victory, we've got to fight. And to find that victory, we've got to win, Lord. So we come in here, and some of us are not standing, Lord, and some of us are not fighting, and some of us are not experiencing the victories, Lord, that are available to us. So this morning, Lord, I would come to you this morning and just say, meet us here, Lord. Meet us here, Lord. We have been beaten down too long. 40 days would seem short to the amount of defeat that some of us have been experiencing in our lives. Lord, I pray answers this morning. Lord, I pray power this morning. Lord, I pray direction. Lord, I pray your Spirit would come into this place, Lord. We might get ready for the race and run the race and find the victory, Lord, that you would hold for us. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
You ready for this morning?
Amen.
You got some challenges that are facing you in your life? You got some obstacles that need to be leapt over, leaped over, jumped over? Well, I tell you what, getting ready for the race, that's what we're going to talk about. I've been doing some prepping. Yes. And you might look at that car thinking, there's no way that's ready for a race. Well, I'll tell you what, before you race, you've got to have the test drive. Amen? Well, we got that thing running just last week. And so yesterday, I took it out for a test drive. And you kind of run it through its paces and see what's got to be fixed and what's got to be ironed out. You can take a look at that and say there might be a little ironing to going on. Amen? I'll tell you what, you know how far I got to the bottom of my driveway. And I experienced difficulty right off the bat. You know what? And my driveway is on a slope, so I was able to coast down. And then it got harder as I had to rely upon my motor, and I kind of got it sputtering and going and started going down the hill. You know, one thing, you go down a hill, you get to come back up a hill. Amen? Yes. And I got, you know, I start getting worried. Whoa, it's going to be a long push up this hill if this car don't start running better. And I got Joe behind me with the starter fluid, sporting, you know, kind of trotting behind, you know, keeping that starter going. Oh, yeah, yeah. And so he turned it around and got it pointed uphill. You know, I tell you, got Steve, we said, we're just going to have to fix this thing right here. And it was a clog in the fuel line. And so cleared that out, you know, just kind of suck up some gas. Oh, it's not, it's just kind of memory that'll just stay with you. There's some challenges. You're going to get in the race. There's going to be some challenges that come your way. Amen? And so we got that gas flowing and got it going. And so I tell you what, I just went down the hill and started putting around. I was testing the transmission. I wanted to make sure that transmission was good. And you might notice there ain't no seats in that car. You might not notice it, but the driver's side door didn't have a latch on it. So as you take a turn, boy, I'll tell you, that door just kind of be swinging open. But we can fix that, you know. Now you might be looking at this fine example of a car, and you might just think that front windshield is just really clean. How many of you thought that? Oh, it's just really clean. No. That front windshield is actually sitting in my garage, right? Now, I'll tell you what, when you're on that test drive, right, and you're identifying issues, you know, and I'm going, okay, you know, and I got my glasses on, I'm good, you know, but I tell you what, your glasses are only good for so long. I don't know how many of you have ever driven a car with no windshield, but there is a purpose for those windshields. And you get to about 40 miles an hour, it don't matter what you got on your eyes because there is wind whipping around all over the place. No matter what I do to that car, until I get that windshield fixed, I'm going to have some barriers. That is a critical issue in my car. Amen? We all got some critical issues in our lives, right? And we might think we're getting ready for the race, but until you address some of these critical issues, there's only so far you're going to be able to go. There's only so fast you're going to be able to go, and you cannot ignore it and run that race, finish that race, and win that race. Can I get a witness? Are you tracking with me? So we got some stuff maybe that we're just trying to say, well, we'll just deal with that later. And I'll tell you what, later can happen real quick. Amen? Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness. Jesus is being prepared to run the biggest race of all. Amen? He is headed for the cross. He is headed to redeem all of mankind. But he is having to prepare for the race. And he is having to be prepared for the race. Are you tracking with me?
Amen.
Say, wait a minute. Jesus having to prepare for something? Well, he was born as a man. Born, you know, men are born as children. Amen? And it's all you mothers know and you fathers know that babies got to learn how to walk. And babies got to learn how to talk. Amen? There was all kinds of learning that Jesus was experiencing in his life in preparation for the cross. Why? Paul tells us. He talks about Jesus here in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And he says, who Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. And that word there means that he emptied himself. That there was all this. I mean, Bible tells us that everything was created through Jesus. Amen? There's some power there. Amen? I mean, there's some supernatural God the Son kind of stuff happening there. Amen? And so Jesus surrenders that to come as a child and learn to walk and talk and do all the other things that we had to do so that he could one day walk to the cross, hang on the cross for you and I. He was preparing for the race, and he was being prepared for the race. My question for you this morning is, what are you preparing for? You know, we got some plans, and we got opportunities. Ed's a teacher, teaches kids how to play bass and guitar and all this kind of stuff. He's preparing them for stuff. See, and you are preparing for stuff, but also you are being prepared. See, God has got stuff going on in your life. You're not sometimes even aware of. Because he's got a plan, amen? He's got some things in store for you that changes need to have happen. Just like me, I got to get a windshield in that car for it to run. There are some changes that got to happen in you to be able to move down the race of your life to find victory. What do you think the Lord is working on in you? The title of today's message is Getting Ready for the Race.
Yes, amen.
Our Father in heaven was getting Jesus ready for the race. Are you interested in this today?
Amen.
All right, let's take a look. All right. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. It wasn't just an accident. God had a plan. Opposition is part of the plan. What are you talking about? Wait a minute, isn't God's job just to make my life easy? Isn't God's job just to make sure? You know, there was one lady talking about President Obama when he went, I'm going to have to worry about my gas, I'm going to have to worry about my rent. Some people think God is like that. God's going to pay my rent, he's going to give me a car, he's going to give me jobs, he's going to give me a man, he's going to do all this stuff, because that's God's job. His job is up there just to be waiting. What they going to pray for? And he's like the candy man. He's like Santa every day. Holy Spirit returned, was led into the desert. Now, being full of the Spirit, sometimes people say, we'll comment on someone, that person is full of the Spirit. You say, what does that mean? That person is sensitive to the Spirit, is empowered by the Spirit, and is led by the Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That person is just full of the Spirit of God. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you read the Gospels, you can hear and you can read and you can understand the power that the Holy Spirit brought to the life of Jesus. Amen? And then in the book of Acts, Jesus goes on to describe the power that is available to those who would follow him. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you will receive power. That promise is for those who would ask Jesus to come into their lives and to be transformed. Amen? It says you can have a second gear in your life. You can have power that would come in your life. If you would surrender your life, he says, you'll get power to do what? To get a man, to get a job, to get all my stuff? No. You'll get power, and he says, Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You'll be part of my plan. And when you're part of my plan, you'll have my power. Are we tracking?
Amen.
My question is, are you part of the plan of God today? Are you experiencing the power of God? Yes. Are you being led by the Spirit? Say, how does the Spirit lead me? Well, Holy Spirit would lead you through the Word of God. How much time do you spend in the Word this week? Are you loving God? Are you spending time in the Word going, oh, Lord, speak to my heart. Guide and direct me. Thy Word is what? A lamp unto my feet. Amen?
Amen.
Now, sometimes the Lord sends some people your way. Maybe the Lord just spoke to you right through what Aaron had to say. Maybe the Lord's going to speak to you what I got to say today. Maybe you were just ministered when Lisa was praying up here. I was ministered when Lisa was praying. Amen?
Yes.
Glory to God. So sometimes he'll just send somebody your way. And sometimes God will just talk right to your heart. He can bypass the Word. Don't skip the Word, folks. Word is good. Word will equip you for every good work. Amen? Spirit breed. Get in the Word. It's good. Get around some godly people. You don't want to be apart from the Word. You don't want to be apart from godly people. You want to be flying solo. Amen? You'll sound like that baby all the time, just crying and whining. Why didn't anybody? But if you are, maybe you're just making some poor choices. Maybe just out in the midst of nowhere. You're going, oh, God, where are you? God will speak right to you. It says the Spirit himself can testify with your spirit that you are one of his children. He can guide you and say, child, you are lost. He can say, you need to make a right turn here. Anybody, has God ever done that to anybody? Said, hey, you need to make a shift right now in your life.
Yes.
Now, Spirit-led people, Spirit-filled people, you know what they do? When God says take a right, they take a right. Can I get a witness on that? Because I tell you what, we get God speaking to our lives and sometimes we say, I don't think so. Sometimes we're just going our own way. That's not the spirit-filled life. Amen? Jesus returned from the Jordan filled with the Holy Spirit and was led into the desert. Let's keep on reading. For 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. That just sounds bad, doesn't it? That just sounds like it's not something I want to sign up for. Amen? How did he get there? He was led by the Spirit. Matthew tells us he was led into the desert to be tempted by the purpose of going into the desert was to be tempted by the devil. What? He ate nothing during those 40 days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. And Jesus is headed into a challenge, and there are some challenges that you are headed into that are the part of the purpose and plan of God for your life. Can I get a witness on that, please?
Amen.
Let me say that again. Jesus was directed into the desert where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. There are some things that the Lord is guiding you into that are going to be a challenge.
Amen.
That are going to help you grab onto him, going to help you become sensitive to his spirit, going to help you develop being directed by the word, going to help you develop relationships with people around you. That will speak God's truth into your life, and you will become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Whereas if you avoided all these challenges, you would not know the voice of God. And how is God going to guide you if you don't know what he sounds like? He was led into the wilderness, and he was tempted for those 40 days. Devil means accuser. You have an accuser, a slanderer, a liar. Slandering, talked about this a couple weeks back. Slandering means lying on purpose. The devil will lie on purpose about you. And who's he lie on purpose to? God. Because he lies about you to God, and he lies to you about God. Why? Because he wants to create distance between you and God. He wants to do anything that he can to destroy your relationship with God. He wants to get you flying solo.
Yes.
Because sometimes we do dumb things. Mm-hmm. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Sometimes we do dumb things when we are all alone. The devil's job is to incite us to rebel against our Father in heaven. And how do we do that? A thousand different ways. How do you do that? Devil knows how. I wonder why Jesus wasn't spared. You know, our Father in heaven could have said, oh, the devil's out there. Jesus going to the cross, we need to spare him from this. We're going to put a hedge of protection around Jesus so that he's not challenged by that devil. And you know what he ended up with? A punk for a savior. He would have been weak. Why? Because he never faced a challenge in his life. Daddy was up there sparing him. How often do you say, oh, God, spare me from this challenge? And from heaven he says, I don't want you to be a punk. You got to get buffed up. You got to get strong. If you're going to find victory, you got to fight. If you never fight, you'll never win. And you'll be a loser. My kids ain't losers. Amen? The enemy comes around to make you strong. The enemy comes around to bring challenges. We think, oh, just spare us. That's not what the Bible says. Aaron talking about James. James opens up. Verse 2. Verse 1 says, hey, I'm James. Consider it joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. It's like running the race, man, and bam, 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 all over the place and be happy about it. Why? Because you know, I hope you know, because if you run from all your trials, you won't discover this. You won't find strength in the midst of opposition, in the midst of your issues in your life that are dragging you down. You just think they're a pain. Oh, I wish God would just spare me. Pastor, would you pray for me? I want God to spare me. It's a tough, it's like, well, you know, it's not really what he's looking to do here. He says, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That means when you're running a long race and you're sweating, you ain't going to quit. Perseverance must finish its work so that you can become mature. You see them kids running around earlier? They're not mature. See the stuff they're doing? They don't do mature things. They're messing around, dinking around, playing around. God says, I want you to stop that. I want you to be mature. I don't want to be old. Hey, look in a mirror. That was humor. Yeah, maturity happens. He says, you want to be complete. Oh, I'll be complete. That sounds good. Not lacking anything. Oh, yeah, I'm in for that. How do you get that maturity, that completeness, and not lacking anything? Through perseverance, and that comes through trials. Jesus is running into a trial from the devil. We will run into trials in our lives. Not always from the devil. There's only one devil. Jesus merited the devil. Probably you, me, this church don't merit the devil. Amen? Now, but he's got demons, man. We probably got some demons looking at the City Heights, man. It's good hood, right? Got some demons messing with City Heights. Amen? So, demons messing with this church. So I talk about the devil. I talk about that stuff. I talk about the spiritual powers that are arrayed against us, against you, against your family. Do anything they can to separate you from what? The love of God. We had a football game last night. Josh and Joe playing for the Horizon Panthers. Final score, 69. You know, on a football full score, you know 69. The other team ain't going to have 69. 69 to 15. Now, those boys looked like they just got whooped. Oh, no, they were on the winning team, right? Now, and Josh threw a touchdown pass, 3 for 3, looking good. Joe recovered a fumble. I went on Thursday to help out the coach with a projector so they could watch films, right? And I'm in the cafeteria trying to set this stuff up, and I saw Josh walking around, and Josh went and saw Joe, said, hey, Joe, your dad's in the cafeteria. Joe was so happy. In his mind, he thought, maybe my dad came to take me out of football practice today. He told me that. He told me that. And then he saw that wasn't going to happen. And now practice is made difficult by their coaches so that when the test of the game comes, they will be able to win. And look like that. Joe said he was flexing his muscle. That's why he's got that. That's the flex look. He said, Dad, they had 2 or 3 people taking pictures. I just looked around, flexing, looking tough. Right? Had I taken him out of practice, now he's had a lot of practices, but you get the picture. If I'd taken him out of practice, if I continually removed him from practice, he would not have been ready for the game. He would have not been ready for the test. He would have not been ready for the race, and he would have experienced failure. So don't ask your dad to come and spare you from the test, to spare you from the challenge, to spare you from your issues. You can say, Dad, I need some power so that I can overcome, so I can find some victory, so I can win. Amen? Are we good? All right, all right, all right. Here we go. Oh, Lisa just walked in. That's your son. There you go. All right. Our opposition is real. Now, you all know that to be true, right? Because you got real challenges. You got real issues that are coming around. Your opposition is real. Amen? 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 Amen. Amen. The devil, oh, can you imagine speaking to the devil? That creeps me out, man. The devil came in. Can you imagine the devil coming into your room and going, Blanca? You know what? The devil doesn't go, Blanca. The devil goes, hey, girl, how you doing? Blanca, you're looking fine. You know what I'm saying? If you went, Blanca, everybody would know what he sounds like. Says, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. I mean, like on the internet, you know, bam. And he said to him, I'll give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, it'll be all yours. All you got to do is kneel down. You don't need the cross. You don't need the challenges. You don't need the Spirit. I'll give it to y'all. Just worship me. Boy, that can sound pretty good. I think people have taken that offer. See, some folks just skyrocket. He says, I can give it anyone I want. Worship me, it'll be all yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. It can be difficult, folks. It can be difficult when he is whispering lies. He is whispering exactly what you want. Saying, I can just gift wrap this for you. It'll be all yours. Just worship me. Jesus faces the devil. They go one-on-one. It can be challenging out there. It says, if you are the Son of God, why don't you prove it? Why don't you just take this big old rock and turn it into a piece of bread? Now, guess what? Jesus had been eating for a while. Bible tells us that he was hungry. Amazing how that temptation lines up with exactly what Jesus was looking for. Isn't that kind of scary? How did he know? How does the devil know what you're looking for? He's studying you. They got demons, man. They got like they can talk, and they got, I don't know, they got cell phones or what, man. They're quick. They are quick, man. They go, whoom, they go across the United States. Did you hear about Yuseli? Did you hear about Sandra? Did you hear about Larry? Bam, bam, bam. All kinds of communication going on. They're studying you. They know where you're weak. They know where you failed before. Oh, I know Blanca. You know what works on Blanca? You know, it worked when she was 19. It worked again when she was 23. Worked again when she was 24. Oh, yeah, we know about Blanca. He says, I'll give you the glory and the splendor of this world. Just worship me. He says, it was a gift. Somebody gave it to me. How did he get that? Garden of Eden. Way back. Because Adam was given dominion, amen, over everything. All the birds and the beasts, and he had dominion and gave it away for the fruit of that tree. And you know what the devil said? Oh, it's good for knowledge. You'll be just like God when you have this. Never said how much it was going to cost, amen? What do you got going on? What is the devil throwing your way? Saying, come on, this is what you want. Come on, this is what you need, right? Say, just a little bit. It's not going to hurt you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's all kinds. You know what? The devil doesn't wrap up stuff, you know. Look all bad. Doesn't show a picture of a meth addict reaching through, trying to climb through a parking lot. Look for that little rock that fell out of his car. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't show you that picture, does he? Don't show the picture of the little old lady sitting outside. My brother went to Reno for a bachelor party, and he had to leave 1 hour late because of his work for the bachelor party, right? And he gets up to the hotel, and 1 hour behind the rest of the guys, and his buddy is sitting on the steps in front of the casino. And my brother Tom, comes up and says, "Hey, let's go in. I lost all my money in 1 hour." Guess what? Reno ain't no good if you don't got no money. But they ain't going to tell you that. It's fine. What's the devil talking to you about? What has worked in your past and the devil keep throwing your way? Ooh, I know what works on Steve. He'd be throwing it at you. Jesus keeps it simple. Serve the Lord. Serve him only. You can keep it simple, amen? Devil will come with you with some really good sounding arguments, offers. He'll say, "You won't get caught. Nobody will know." And then you know what? As soon as you start doing it, he makes sure you get caught. And then he'll throw you right under the bus. Say, "Look what he did. I'm going to tell Jesus on you." Right. You know I'm right, right? Yeah. "Oh, Jesus ain't going to want you now. Oh, look at you. You're disgusting." What he does. He'll wrap it up to look good, and then he'll make you look bad. Don't be dumb. All right. Again, this trips me out. Jesus and the devil take a trip. Road trip. I mean, you think, road trip with Jesus. Let's go. Road trip with the devil? Yowza. The devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, it says, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." That's some good stuff. Amen? Amen. The devil led Jesus to Jerusalem. I'm wondering why he was following. You ever think about that? Yeah, I would think, "Jesus, run, run, run the other way." You get used to running from the devil, he will chase you every day of your life. You'll be running the wrong race because you'll be running the race getting away from the devil rather than pursuing what God has for you. Amen? You start submitting to the devil and he will win your challenge every day of your life. Bible is quoted by the devil. Psalm 91. It's a good book. Can I get a witness on that, folks? It's a good book. Can I get a witness on that? Psalm 91. It's not going to come up on the screen. Listen to this. This is so good. I got time for this? I'm making time for this. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High." Doesn't that just sound good right off the bat? "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Hallelujah. He says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Is this good, folks? The devil taking it right out of Psalm 91. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will cast a call upon me, for he acknowledges me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Psalm 91 is a message to us this morning as we have challenges in our lives. Amen? And the devil would take that scripture and twist it. And Jesus says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. The Bible tells us that Satan would come to you masquerading as an angel of light. Anybody recognize anything up there? That there is the Mormon temple right here in San Diego. That there is a kind of picture of Muhammad. Right? And he's a what? He's a liar, right? And the devil will come masquerading and put some good stuff and then take his people and spin them. I tell you what, this world is being shaken by the teachings of Muhammad and what the devil is taking to just be extremism. Amen? Buddha, oh, some great ideas draw you away from what? Life-saving relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. The Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking at your door. Early. Looking to work their way into heaven, want to trap you up in the lists that you got to work out. And Jesus has a simple answer. Don't be dumb. Come on, devil. I know Psalm 91. I'm not going to roll like that. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. Don't be dumb. Jesus says, I'm not going to be dumb. I'm going to put my faith in my Father. Work this stuff out. In all three of these temptations, Jesus responds with Scripture. It is one thing to know the Word of God. And I hope you do. Some of you, most all of us, need to know it better than we do. It's one thing to know the Word. It's another thing to stand on the Word. And in the midst of his temptation, Jesus was standing on the Word. And as you go through the challenges of your life, you will come to a relationship with the Lord that enables you to stand on His precepts, to stand on His Word, and they will take you through. Amen? Isn't that just nice? Mike and Eva have been married about 9 weeks now, a little over 2 months, back in July 22nd, if my memory is right. And they got married. It was a step of faith because they had just got a studio apartment, and they had 2 weeks of rent. That can be a bit of a challenge, amen? 2 weeks of rent and no job. That can be a challenge, amen? Make sure that this thing is still working. Yes, it is. No job, 2 weeks worth of rent. Getting married. Well, they got some money, and Mike worked some side jobs, and they made rent in August. But guess what? Rent coming due in September. Amen? And Mike getting ready to start working and being delayed, and oh, it looked bad, and it looked challenging. Oh, no. Well, Eva started school on scholarship full-time at City College. Things working out. Mike is now working 45 hours a week. Things are working out. Made a little bit of a loan to get that rent for September 1st. Got that all paid off. Shopping for a car. Things are looking good. Amen? Amen. And then, man with a suit at the door. Papers in his hand. Now, how many of you want to have, I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses coming by early is bad enough. Amen? But when you got a man in a suit and papers in his hand, I tell you what, Lord, spare me from this challenge. He says, I don't want you to be a punk, kid. You're going to get some power to overcome this challenge. And the man hands him a piece of paper, which is an eviction notice. Where he says, what? That's what Mike said. What? Said, the lady that you've been paying your rent to doesn't own this property. She just rents this property, and she has not paid her rent for 3 months. Oh, my. I talked to Mike. You know what he said? My God's bigger than this. Because my God's already paid my rent twice. So I'm not worried about what's coming down the road. I'm just worried about who I am running with. Amen? See, and that is how you can learn to find the victory in the race, how to deal with the issues in your life. Not to ask God to escape, to ask God for power to overcome. And what happens is you start getting used to receiving that power. And you're not looking to get out of opposition. You're just looking for more power to get over it. Amen? Is that a different life? That's a different life. Many of you are discovering that life. Jesus was discovering that in his life. Come one-on-one with the devil and find victory. All right, let's continue on. Because Jesus makes it through. You can make it through. Mike made it through. And Eva made it through. Many of you have come through. And what you have come through is just getting you ready for the next big thing that you're going to come through. Amen? You're going to run a race. It's like a hurdle race, man. You got to jump, learn how to jump, get jumped better, better, and better, and better. Bible says, Luke 4:13, it says, when the devil had finished, woohoo! Didn't that sound good? Devil was done, but he was coming back. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, it's a battle, folks. It's a lifelong battle, and at the end, we get heaven. Amen? Jesus makes it through. Jesus makes it through the challenge. Jesus makes it through to victory. He overcame the challenge. Matthew tells us that angels came. When the devil left, the angels came and tended to him and ministered to him. And in the challenges of your life, you can find that strength. And when you are coming through that challenge, you can find that strength just laying there, just woofed. And say, Lord, I made it through. They're getting Joe out of bed this morning. They played till, 10:30 last night. He's like, I played a football game last night. I said, we got church, man. Come on. Got to stir it up. Jesus getting stirred up after that challenge, 40 days in the wilderness. You can find the strength of the Lord in your life. Jesus found it. He was going to need it. Why? Because the devil was coming back. And whatever you've come through, there's more coming. You get used to winning, you'll keep on winning. Amen? What's the Bible say? Bible says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he's going to flee from you. And you get used to seeing those demonic agents running from you and your situation. You can get used to pushing them back. See Joe and Josh at the end of that game going, yeah, 69-15. We were pushing them back. We got used to pushing them back. You get used to running from the devil? Every day you'll run. Every day. Oh, no, there isn't. Hide. Them Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, you can just open the door and smile at them. Glory to God. Love you. Wish I knew what you guys were talking about. But, man, I love the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You want to know about that? I can talk to you about it. But all that stuff you got, I got to just send you on your way with blessing. Bam. You can greet him with a smile. That guy comes to your door with an eviction notice, put a smile on. Oh, Jesus got a better place for me. or a bigger challenge. Amen? Don't get used to surrendering. Don't get used to losing. God says, I got something more for you. That's why you got all this drama going on. Devil's coming back. So what do you got going on? See, devil takes off and you might be thinking, ooh, I can get a little bit of this on the side. Devil says, go, do it. You just had the victory of God in your life. You just had overcome challenge after challenge after challenge. You can get feeling like you're too good, like Joe. Oh, yeah, look at this. Next week, they're playing the number one seed in their division. Santa Fe Christian. A powerhouse. Oh, yeah. Man, they got some guys 280. Joe's 215, man. It's going to be a tough game. No way. They make it through that game, they don't make it through this game. You got some challenges coming your way. Don't weaken your situation by listening to the, oh, you can do that. Oh, no. You got some big stuff coming your way. You got to be geared up, strong, ready to roll. You can find that victory. Don't get used to running. Get used to winning. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen? All right. Last thing, we'll get out of here. This is how you get ready. Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God. Okay? Bible says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power and put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil has a plot arrayed against you. It's not just against Jesus. It's not just against me. It is against you and your family and your children. And you better get geared up. It says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Is that what you're fighting? Or are you just trying to make rent? You just need a job. I just need a car. See, sometimes we fight the wrong fight. You got to be ready to fight, and you got to know what you're fighting against. Because our battle is often a spiritual battle, and we're just fighting with the natural. You guys raising the hood, man, you know how to fight. But sometimes you're just fighting the wrong thing. Amen? Devil wants to put distance between you and anything that's going to draw you near to him. Try and keep you out of this church. Did I tell you what? How many times this week did you hear what I'm saying today? This is probably the only place you're going to get this. What, are you on Wednesday night?
No.
Oh. Mike said one time. That's good. I'm glad you did, Mike. But see, I'll tell you what. The devil has got a plan against you, and oftentimes the only place you're going to become aware of that is when you walk into this place and you're going to walk out, you'll be ready to go, and if you don't come in here, you're going to walk around unarmed. Amen? We're often fighting the wrong fight. We think our issues are our problem, but there's something behind all of our issues that's steering it and directing it. All right, I'm going to go through this right quick, and then we're going to be done. He says, start off with the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. I'll tell you what, if you're living a lie, if you got all that sin in your life, you are going to be weak, and the devil's going to come by and just push you, just like, and you just fall right over. Why? You got no stability. You got righteousness and truth, and you're working hard on being God's man and God's woman. You're going to be able to go, God, I am doing all I can. He says, no, you're lying. You were at the casino the other night. You got two women that you're dating right now. Don't be coming to me telling me that you're doing everything right when you know you're lying. Don't lie to me, because you will be consumed with the issues in your life because you have no truth and you have no righteousness. Can I get a witness here? You want to get in the power, line up on the Lord. He'll line up on you. He says, you get your feet, put on the shoes. I mean, I untied my shoe. I'll tell you what. I stepped on my shoelace. And I've been trying to be careful not to step. I trip. You know how foolish it is to look at a preacher to trip? I mean, if I tripped, you wouldn't pay one bit of attention to any word I said. You're thinking, he was a fool up there tripping. He says, get your feet Yeah, see, Sandra's going, yeah, he's right. I wouldn't listen. You guys are barely listening now. He says, choose, get prepared with the readiness that comes from the gospel, the good news. There's people that are around you that need the message of Christ. Get your shoes on. Be ready. Ready to get in there, man. Throw a handout to somebody that is in need. I'll tell you what, you're fighting the good fight. I'll tell you what, you got some angels, you got some power behind you. The Lord will deal with the drama on the edges, getting the battle. He says, you put on the helmet of salvation. You got to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and transform you. He says, you get the shield of faith. It's impossible to please God if you don't believe he's there. You got to believe that God is up there. He says, my eyes are upon the righteous and my ears are attentive to their prayer. Oh, my. Can't be fighting this battle unarmed. And then he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you'll be able to stand. You will be ready. Right? In that gear, there is no protection for the back. You start running, and you are unprotected from the attack of the devil. He will just throw a fiery dart, bam, right in the back of your head, and you'll be dead. And then this is what Aaron said. Pray in the Spirit. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You see these people around here? You need to be praying for them. See the people that aren't here? You've got to really be praying for them. Amen? All right, Lisa, we're drawing to an end here. Would you come up here and play a song for us as we finish? My question for you this morning is what are you... Oh, it is, man. I can go longer. Everyone's going, no, it was long enough. Steve, what's up? Go get a cigarette, man. Come on. What are you facing today? I'll tell you what, you're in a challenge for one of three reasons. You're dumb, you're lazy, or you're in training. I've been dumb, I've been lazy, and I've been in training. Those are the three reasons. You got some issues that are overwhelming. Because I'll tell you what, you know what it is to be dumb, right? Yeah. Listen to the devil say, oh, you can do this. Oh, I can? He looks like such a nice man. What are all those children doing around him? Oh, calling him daddy. He's such a nice man. I think I'm going to hook up with this man. Yeah. I don't care if he's got 19 children. Don't see any wives around him. That's dumb. I'll tell you what, we got some people making some dumb choices in people that they're hooking up with around here. Amen? Amen. Jesus says, don't be dumb. Says, oh, man, try a little bit of this, you'll feel good. Dumb. Don't be dumb. Devil says, oh, try this again. Nobody'll know. Don't be dumb. See, maybe you're going through some stuff just because you are dumb. Now, maybe, no, you're not dumb, you just ain't doing nothing. You're just lazy. You know what you should be doing, you're just not doing it. And because of that, you are unarmed. Like Joe saying, take me out of the practice, man. I don't need to run. You only need to run if you want to win, son. You want to get whooped on in your life? Don't run. Don't practice. Don't prepare. Just be lazy. See, you might be having all kinds of drama in your life because you're dumb and because you're lazy. You might be thinking, I'm not dumb. And I'm not lazy. Then God is getting you ready. What? I thought God's job was to make things good for me. God's job is to make you good for the kingdom. And you got some issues that are coming against you. It's like that practice for Joe and Josh. Oh, it's so hard. But victory is good. 69-15, folks. Is that the kind of victory you want to have in your life? How hard are you training? How hard are you working? Dumb, lazy, or training? You're in training. God's got you going through some hard stuff to get you ready for the really hard stuff. going through the game, you're going to win 69-15 to get you ready for the opponent that is arrayed against you in strength and in might. And he's saying, oh, I got to read this. Oh, I hate this. Romans 8, 36 and 37. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Maybe the Lord is preparing you, and maybe you are already there. Maybe you're saying, I am where the Lord has called me. I am fighting the good fight, and I am tired. Lord, fill me up. I don't want to run. I don't want to hide. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. I want to fight longer. I want to find that victory. You filled me in the past, and I am trusting you that you are going to fill me in the future, Lord. Pray with me, would you? Lord Jesus, we got some folks making some poor choices, Lord. We got some folks that aren't doing what they should be doing, and Lord, we got some folks in training. And Lord, for all of us, Lord, for all of us, Lord, it is hard. It is so hard to be a warrior to fight the good fight. Lord, it is a long race that we run, Lord. It is tiring. It is grueling, Lord. And Lord, you care too much for us to give up on us. Maybe you are here this morning and the issues that are around you, you're going, oh, I'm so fatigued. Some of you quit running. You're here this morning and the Lord is speaking to your heart and He's saying, these issues that you face are a result of your choices. You have made poor choices. You have run when you should have stood still. You have stood still when you should have advanced. And you have not fought when you should have fought. You have made poor choices. And the Lord right now is letting you know. And because He's letting you know, He's saying it's not too far. You are not too far gone. And it is not too late that you can reach out your hand. Put it in the hand of the hand that was nailed to the cross. And He says, I will get you back in the race. You are here because you can run. You are here because you have potential. You are here because I will work a miracle in you. And the first miracle we're going to do is we're going to start rearranging some of the choices that you're making. You're going to not make these poor choices. You're going to make better choices. You're going to be guided by the Holy Spirit come and reside in you. And you're going to begin to choose wisely.